What's going on, faithful? It's Friday, and today is the day 49ers rookie minicamp begins. Let's meet the rookies right here on the Wayne Breezy Show. So bright that we shine at. All we do is the Niners. Ready, go, let us find us. We're too faithful to the Bay. I be sipping gold bar whiskey on the rocks. And a 24 karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop. Sounding like Trent Williams on the block. So you know we can't stop. We be banging through your speakers.
Wayne Breezy on the field or in the bleachers.
You can tune into my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy, the 4-9 preacher.
We so bright that we shine.
Touchdown! What's going on, 49er faithful? It's your boy Wayne Breezy. We got to get this camera right. Hope you guys are doing well. It's Friday. You ain't got no job, and we ain't got to do. You know what I'm saying? Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate you guys always and forever, baby. Make sure you guys go to residency.com. Use that promo code SFBreezy and get you a fresh cap fit on today. I was going to say fitted, but they don't have fitteds currently. But they do got the snapbacks. They got strapbacks or the Velcro backs, however you want to look at it. Call them Velcro backs. They got those. They got the trucker hats. They doing all good things over there, man. So make sure you guys go ahead and check it out over there at residency.com, man. Get your fit right. Get your fit on. Use that promo code SFBreezy. You can save on your purchase. I'm happy to be here. Rookie minicamp kicks off today. We are going to see some 49er players in their uniforms. Yes, in their uniforms. So look, don't expect any pads and any hitting and things like that. But you're going to see the rookies for the first time in 49ers attire, and I'm super excited to see that and can't wait to hear them and hear how they worked out on today. And it was good to hear from them yesterday. We heard from three or four rookies at the presser yesterday. I was hoping we could get some Jacob Cowing action going on, but they couldn't fit him in. But shout out to the Breezy Bunch crew. Make sure you guys do me a favor, like this joint right now. Hit that like button, guys, and don't forget, man, please subscribe to the channel. All right, if you're new to the stream, go ahead and subscribe. If you're watching or if you're listening, listen, if you're listening to this, man, listen, open up a browser while you're listening to it, whether it's Safari, Google Chrome, and just go to youtube.com, or if you got the app on your phone and just click at the Wayne Breezy. You don't even got to type in a URL anymore. YouTube done got smart, and it's at the Wayne Breezy. All you got to do is look that up. Boom, channel will pop up, and then bam, you click on that subscribe button. So make sure you guys go ahead and do that for sure. All right. Shout out to everybody on the podcast. If you're not listening to it and you're watching live and you want to listen to it a little bit later, or you know, you're in your car, you're in your truck, you're in your van, you're in your, you know, whatever it is you choose to drive, dirt bike, motorcycle, don't want to discriminate, scooters, I don't know, wheelie, I don't know, whatever, man. Listen. Make sure you do it safely and go ahead and download the podcast right here. You got it on Spotify Podcast as well as Apple Podcasts. It's the Wayne Breezy Show. It's the only one up there. So make sure you guys go ahead and check that out, man. I appreciate the love. Appreciate the support from you guys as well. Don't forget to follow on X, formerly known as Twitter, at the Wayne Breezy. You can subscribe there as well. And as well as on Instagram, you could become a subscriber, as well as on Threads, TikTok, and Facebook, all at the Wayne Breezy. Now, if you guys like that exclusive content, you know, where I'm kind of like doing different types of things, videos, breakdowns, all that good stuff, you can go to the Patreon. And you go to patreon.com/@TheWayneBreezy. And you'll get some videos weekly, all right, up there, depending on. There's two tiers. It's a $5 tier. There's a $20 tier. Now, you can go ahead. If you don't want to pay any money, you want to sign up for free, cool. And I'll do my best to do some regular stuff for those. But make sure you go ahead and sign up if you want to get that exclusive content. That's where I'm going to be putting all my exclusive content. It's going to be on Patreon. So, yeah, I'll still be live here on the YouTube channel. But the exclusive stuff, the stuff that I'll take some more time out, it'll be going on the Patreon. So feel free to join the Patreon, all right? Shout out to my brother JP Hella Hard, who is first in the building. Get the air horns on this morning with the hashtag BB. What's going on, baby? I see you out there. The Breezy Bunch crew is in the building. I see my bro Fernando out there, man. Make sure you guys hit that like button for sure. Vince is in the building as well. He wants everybody to like and subscribe. And he is singing So Faithful to the Bay. You put the extra A's and the Y's in it, man. I love it. I love it. What's going on? My brother Don't Bother Me is in the building. Colin is in the building. The beautiful Miss Debbie Ryan. Hey there, Wayne. Thank God it's Friday. I don't want to mess it up. I just want to make sure. Blessing to everyone in the chat. Hit that like button and don't forget to subscribe. Ben, what's going on, bro? Ben, I appreciate you, man. Listen, Ben is a good friend that, you know, will email me and just to check up on me. That's a friend. You know what I'm saying? And we're friends to the end. Not on some Child's Play Chucky stuff, but I mean it. And then I do want to look. You did send me an email, so I'm going to try to touch on that a little bit on today's show. So I promise. Oscar, what's going on? He says, have the 49ers released a roster for who's showing up? No, not yet. I believe all the rookies will be there, though. This is their time to shine. This is where they get that one up. They got their playbook. We're going to talk about the playbook on the BAM show today, myself and Mike. So that's going to be a fun episode. But this is their time to shine. So, you know, I don't know. Tanisha, what's going on? Good morning, Breezy in the chat. And everybody out there, man, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. For those that are watching on Twitter, man, listen, come on over to the YouTube world. It's super easy. If you want to be a member of the community, you want to be in this chat. You don't want to miss out. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, brother? Faithful family in the building. Let's just get to the get down, man. As far as the 49ers news, they signed three of their rookies so far. So, you know, I'm curious to know, will the rookies attend even if they're not signed? I know the UDFAs have been signed, so that's not the issue. But the issue is getting those rookies deals done and the contracts agreed upon. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But for those that have been sleeping under a rock, the schedule release has been postponed till next Wednesday. The schedule release will be next Wednesday, May 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we'll know who we're playing, when we're playing, and where we're playing. There are the rumors out there that we're going to be playing across seas. So we'll see if that happens. I felt like those same rumors were yesterday, and they didn't happen. I felt like that was the rumors from yesterday, you know. And I'm from last season. But it never happened. I thought we were going to play Jacksonville in England, and it just didn't happen. So we'll see what happens. And Jacksonville was a home game, you know what I'm saying, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we got to play Minnesota. They were away. Will it be a game? We'll know. We don't know. Hopefully it will be. So we'll see what happens once that schedule is released. Again, mini camp begins today. Mini camp is a 2-day thing, so it's going to be today and tomorrow. Then we get into OTAs toward the end of the month. So that's where the big dogs, the big willy dogs, come in toward the end of the month. The organized team activities and things like that. So what's going on at the rookie mini camp? In my opinion, I think they're going to be they getting their playbooks. They're going to be first to run through the installs. They're going to try to learn some of these plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to try to learn some of these plays or whatnot. Trish Cross over there on Facebook says, hi, love the 49ers. We love you. How about that, Trish? We love you. Thank you for tuning in. Shout out to the Facebook community as well. You can't get them to come over to YouTube, but they are strong on Facebook. I love you. Keep watching. Keep grinding. Keep loving the 49ers, Trish. So it's going to be interesting to see what these rookies are going to be able to do. I'm excited because I don't know which rookie going to stand out. But after listening to them, some of them talk, man, I just feel like first of all, my first assumption when we drafted the players is that we got more mean or meaner or whatever the correct term is in the English language. I felt like we got a different type of identity when it comes to, you know, just the mentality of what we're trying to do offensively and defensively. And I mean, starting in the trenches all the way to the special spots, the wide receivers, everything. I just felt like they got a different brass growing towards them. My man Sentinel Football Channel says they got more scrappy. Yeah, whatever it is, whatever it takes, more gritty, right? More gritty. Melissa, what's going on? Love you, Breezy. We love you, Melissa. Thank you so much for tuning in. More gritty is the word. And they did. They got low down gritty and grind in the draft. And you know, everybody has that player that they kind of like, if you were doing draft analysis, everybody has that one player that you kind of fell in love with. Mine was Isaac Garrido. And there were just so many reasons, you know, and just listening to him, and his presser was just like, yeah, this kid is going to be, it's going to be a problem once his opportunity arrives, right? You get what I'm saying? Once his opportunity arrives. And I kind of want to talk about him a little bit on today's show. Eric Dang, what's going on, family? How you doing out there, man? Appreciate you, brother. So I was blown away by how well-spoken he was. But when I think about Isaac Garrido, and before we get into those guys, they signed three of their rookies. So they signed Isaac Garrido, they signed Renardo Green, and they signed Jacob Cowing. And part of me believes that they signed Jarrett Kingston too. I believe that's probably going to be announced soon, as well as I think Dominic Pooney and those other guys. They drafted eight players. We're going to go through all of them. You know, just to kind of preview what to expect or what I think we're going to get from these guys this week, who might stand out, who might have a weak camp, who might have a strong rookie camp. We're going to have some fun today. And we're going to talk about the undrafted free agents as well. All right. So they signed those three guys. They got their rookie deals done. Let's see. Do I have that pulled up? Let's see if I can get what they're getting per spot rack. Let's see what happens. If we can get it. Not sure if they updated it yet. But I was curious to see what their rookie contracts are going to be. Let's go to... I don't want free agents. I got those contracts for show. Let's go here. But yeah, Isaac Garrido spoke yesterday, and I mean, like, the first thing that I got from him was the kid, he knows his role. And it's not that he knows his role. He knows when his number is called, he's going to show up big. Yeah, I think the Niners drafted a kid. When it comes to Isaac Garrido, they drafted a kid, you know, with a chip on his shoulder, right? I think they drafted a kid with a chip on his shoulder. I'll start with the guys that spoke, and then we'll get back to some of the other guys. So I think they drafted a kid with a real big chip on his shoulder, right? You know what I'm saying? It's all good, man. Can't win them all, dog. Congrats on that dub for sure. And so when I listened to Isaac Garrido, I was like, yo, this kid, the reason why I loved him, the reason why I fell in love with him wasn't just because of his speed. It's because I just watched him play big when he was given the opportunity. And when you start digging in the crates and start trying to figure out, like, why isn't this kid like the number one guy? You got to remember, he went to Wisconsin first. All right. And he started telling his story. Right. He went to Wisconsin and he came into Wisconsin as a wide receiver. He came into Wisconsin as a wide receiver, hence the 6'1". People are like, yo, we got a 6'1 running back. That's kind of a big back. You know what I mean? It's tall back, right? It's starting to make sense. He was a wide receiver coming out of high school, got to Wisconsin. Well, during that time in Wisconsin, they really weren't airing the ball out. They were grounding and pounding. Think Jonathan Taylor. Think that type of style. And it was cool to hear his Wisconsin coach kind of compare him to Jonathan Taylor. I think that's kind of dope. You know what I'm saying? And when you kind of watch the kid play, you can see that he has that breakaway ability. He's a strong runner, right? He breaks tackles. He gets yards after contact. He can catch out of the backfield. He has great hands. He's a great ass pass blocker, right? Like, oh snap. But then the question is, well then why was he so far down in the draft? It was because he just wasn't utilized once he transferred over into Louisville, because he was on the depth chart, right? They already had guys. They had Jawar Jordan, they had another dude, so they used three running backs in that system there. But when his number was called, he played big, and I like that a lot. So, you know, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on Isaac Garrido, right? The kid's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's been trying to prove himself to everybody since he said, like, with the age of five. He's been proving himself to himself since the age of five, right? And so, you know, I think the best story he talked about was one with his with an offensive lineman in college, and you know he was prepared to go undrafted, but he said if he got drafted, you know, like you know, whatever. Gotta go watch the press. I think it was pretty dope. A 49ers throwback says, which rookie are you looking forward to a camp? So it's I want to see what Isaac Corendo can do, because that playbook is going to be cruel. I really want to see him catch out of the backfield. I mean, that's the bonus. If you are a running back and you can catch out of the backfield, oh man, like you just earned yourself, to me, a move up on the depth chart, right? Now, I realize they're not going to be doing a lot of pass protection and things like that. I'm not worried about that. I think that's part of his nature. But he can catch, and I really want to see him, like, catch the ball out of the backfield, get up the field. The Niners are looking – and you know how you guys kept telling me – like, I kept trying to say the Niners are getting back to their identity when it comes to running the ball? The 49ers are an outside zone team. They're an outside zone team. So what do I mean when I say they're getting back to their identity? Well, they're going to get back to the outside zone. How do I know? By the two offensive linemen that they drafted. The two offensive linemen that they drafted, Dominic Pooney, Jarrett Kingston. Outside zone guys. Great in pass protection, right? But they shuttle time and their 10-yard splits and their three-cone drills preach that they got good feet. They're able to get around, and they're able to go sideline to sideline as quickly as possible. What does that say to me? Outside zone running. That's outside zone. It's just out like that. That's what the Niners do. And then when you add in an Isaac Corendo with the speed to get outside, boom. Now, here's the cool thing. I think the 49ers offensive line is a mixture of the power, the gap zone as well. And now they're trying to get better in the outside zone. They're trying to get back to that. To that point where they were getting to the outside quickly. When you look at that and you blend those two together, people keep saying, oh, Isaac Corendo didn't really have, you know, he has the burst up the middle, but he doesn't have that one cut ability. He's trying to, it ain't him. He's trying to truck you like Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason ain't trying to cut. Once he get up the middle, he going downhill, he put his head down, and you're going to have to tackle him. That's Isaac Corendo. But, man, if some of them holes open up like heaven itself, man, Isaac Corendo has the breakaway speed to make one guy miss and take it to the house. You ain't catching 4-3. I like these questions. Keep the questions coming. I appreciate the questions. I'm going to star them, and then I'm going to get to them. You know what I'm saying? So it's Isaac Corendo for me. I hope I was able to answer your question. Melissa says, Breezy, do you think Green, Pearsall, Cowing are the catalyst of change? Not only because of Ray Ray and Willie comments, but because both positions needed an extra hungry and tenacious depth where the 49ers get injured. You know, that's a good question. And let me break this down. So the first thing that I like about these guys that they drafted, you're talking about Green, dog. You're talking about Pearsall, dog. You're talking about Cowing, dog. The mentality there is dog. They also healthy, right? They also propose this great wealth of health for the San Francisco 49ers, which I think is key. You know, because availability, like Isaac Corendo said, is your best ability. And these are, when you look at the positions, it's a lot of factors for me. You got to look at who's going to be free agents next year. And how can the Niners continue the dog system? Like, so they go out and find more dogs. They go out and find guys that fit. They go out and find guys that do specific things. When you look at Renardo Green, what's the first thing you notice when you watch him play football? Go watch the film that I just did on the Patreon. This is a press corner. This is a press man corner who ain't giving up nothing. If he's in your area, you better have really quick moves, and he has the speed to recover. So when you look at Renardo Green, that's what you're going to get. I don't care how young he look. I don't care. He plays like a grown-ass man on the football field. So that mentality right there is crazy. And if you could bring back, if you could re-sign Diamondre Lenore or Traverius Mooney-Ward, you could bring both of them back, and you keep this guy. And I still feel like the depth for the cornerback position is dog. Like, I still, Darrell Luter Jr., y'all haven't seen dog yet. Like, he was injured last year. Got to remember, I got a chance to watch him for a week practice. And I kept saying that this kid doesn't give up a catch. My only knock on Green is he can be a bit handsy and draw some penalties. That's my only knock. He's got to work on that. Other than that, you get a dog there. And if you have to replace a guy because of free agency, you got a really good prospect. Pearsall, same difference. Like, I don't think the 49ers are moving off of any wide receiver that's under contract. They're going to re-extend Brandon Ayuk. I think Deebo stays until his contract is out. He might even get offered an extension. Deebo might not want to go anywhere else to play. You guys got to factor that stuff in. He may end up taking a little bit less money, but money over time. I don't know. I just know the mentality that Kyle is looking for is back to bully ball mentality on the offensive side, you know? And so when you look at Ray Ray and Willie Snead, like, these are guys that may lack that dog quality, that may lack the toughness. They couldn't find ways to stay healthy. It's so weird, right? They couldn't figure it out. Maybe Willie Snead wasn't given all the opportunities because he couldn't beat out some of these young dogs that they got on their roster, like the Ronnie Bells, who was willing to take hits and line up wherever they asked them to do and be available. Like, it's this little thing. So, Melissa, I think these new players are here because of their mentality, and they fit. They belong here. That's crazy, right? Like, they belong here. Mark Espinosa says, question is, when is he going to get his chance? We already have Mason that we don't use and Mitchell behind CMC. So this is a great question because you're talking about Isaac Guerrero and when is he going to get his opportunity to play? And I love this question. 1,144%. You know what I'm saying? It's a great question. And I don't have the answer, right? Because you just said, we have Mason, and then you put in quotations that we don't use. But here's the thing. I think Kyle Shanahan wants running backs available. Running backs go down a lot, too, in this system. I don't know if you noticed that, but they can't find a way to stay healthy. And I still think Elijah Mitchell is the biggest question mark. But if you ask me, who is Isaac Guerrero? Well, it's the Elijah Mitchell replacement, right? It's not the Jordan Mason replacement. It's the Elijah Mitchell replacement. I think this is Elijah Mitchell's last year, if I'm not mistaken. And the Niners got another 4-3 running back that can do the same things Elijah Mitchell does. And hear me out, right? Hear me out. He catches better than Elijah Mitchell. He has better hands. He's a wide receiver by trade, right? He has better hands. On top of that, he's a better pass protector than Elijah Mitchell coming out of college, right? And number three, he's durable and he stays healthy. So you are already one and up. And here's the best part about Isaac Guerrero. So you may not see him, Mark. We may not see him. We may be able to get him on special teams. You may be able to get him as a returner. I would love to see that. But you may not see him as a running back unless there's an injury, and that's okay, right? But here's the cool thing about Isaac Guerrero, and he should pay me to be a spokesperson, right? Here's the cool thing about Guerrero. He doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires. Why? Because he was always lower on the depth chart. The thing is, when his number was called, he produced. So he is comfortable. I'm not saying he's cool with it, but he understands how to be the role player. He understands how to be not the guy. He understands it. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, and so I think that's why I said I think because of his mindset, he's going to be okay. Now, whether he starts, whether he doesn't, his job is to come in here, work hard, and make them look at him. Make them make a tough decision. Make them say, well, you know, same way Elijah Mitchell did his rookie year. You got to remember, Elijah Mitchell, his rookie year was beating out guys too. And due to injuries, he was the starter. But he beat out guys that were above him on the depth chart as a rookie. I don't see any of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I see the whole same scenario about to happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just do. I do. Mark, great question too, by the way. I'm trying to go back and scroll up and look at some of these look for questions, so bear with me. But listen, my thing is, Bobby Turner is going to have a plethora of running backs with different elements to bring to the running back stable. And I like the simple fact that, you know, CMC is going to be the workhorse. I don't give a care what anybody says. Like that, he's the number one, the main guy. They're not going to overwork him or overload him. But listen, man, CMC is a baller. Like, he wants the ball. I just think, man, that is the catalyst you need. But when CMC needs that breather, you can say, hey, if I got two running backs available, because you got to remember, Jordan Mason adds value on special teams. Can Isaac Arendo do that his rookie year? So I think they need to have two running backs up. And don't forget, Kyle Juszczyk is a running back. So at the end of the day, like, he going to make this roster. Like, so if they count, if the Niners only take five backs, that's a lot of backs. Like, you know what I mean? So Juice is one of them. That's all I'm trying to say. You know, Juice is one of them. Melissa, I saw you had another question, so bear with me, but I'll get to you. Eric says, I'm curious to see if Pooney can earn a starting job this year. I'm curious to see it. Kylie's anxious to hear more about him. I'm curious too. When I watch Pooney and I watched his film and I broke down his film on the Patreon in the Illinois game, I thought I saw one of the best pass protectors I've ever seen. And even in the run game, he looked good. Now, they didn't run much to his side, but to see his big self move to the opposite side to still look to get a block on somebody, like, that's what I wanted to see. So his run blocking grade wasn't always going to be high, but I think he had like a 70 something run blocking grade. And so for me, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? Especially when they're not literally, they literally wasn't running to his side a lot in that one game. And so I'm curious to see how he transitions from tackle to guard on the opposite side of the field. That's my only concern. I'm not worried about him playing guard, because when they asked him to do it at the Senior Bowl, he did it. He slid to left guard, but left guard, because he played on the left side. I'm a little curious to see, does he beat out Aaron Banks? Is there a battle at the left guard spot? This is Aaron Banks last year. See, these are questions, and it's not a shot at the players that are already on the roster. But, you know, when we say players are locks, you know, there's a specific few. Like, I don't see anybody beating out Trent Williams. I don't see anybody beating out a guy like Fred Warner. I don't see anybody beating out CMC. I don't see anybody beating out Brock Purdy. You get what I'm saying? Them the locks. The question is, can you beat out their depth? Can you beat out the next man up? And that, to me, when you look at the offensive line, I don't know. Pooney might be a little bit better fit for the zone scheme than Aaron Banks is. And this is not a shot at Aaron Banks, so please don't go telling Aaron Banks about that. Please, please don't go telling Aaron Banks about that, okay? Please. Please don't. So when I look at Aaron Banks, I like him, but I got to keep the same energy about his availability. He's been injured. You dig? Like, he's been injured. So for me, I'm excited to see, you know, I think Jarrett Kingston had an even better three cone, a better shuttle, short shuttle. I think he ran like a 4.43 in the short shuttle. And he felt like he could have did better. He even said it. He was like, damn, man, if they would have just let me do this first, I was tired. If they didn't let me do this first, I'd have had a higher number. But he takes pride in that. Like, these offensive linemen take pride in moving. And it's, I'm curious to know. I mean, he did follow me. I got to reach out to him. I'm curious to know, like, do some of these, I know the rookies will go anywhere that drafts them. I know that. But, you know, he's a Rams Packers fan by default. It's about Jarrett Kingston now. But now he said bumped him. He's a Niners fan. I love it. I'm curious to know if he knew if this is a place he wanted to play, because he knew he can fit the scheme well. I can't wait to break down this film. I haven't broken down this film yet. I got his game that I'm going to watch for the Patreon. I got a game, so I haven't broken down his film as of yet. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be fun to watch these guys. But I did get a chance to break down a Dominic Pooney's game, and I was just like, oh, shoot, this guy's ceiling's ridiculous. Like, he's going to be a freaking problem. Like, real talk. Real talk. Melissa, Breezy, you think Anderson or Davis could be the guy to step in the defensive tackle to take over for Eric? So, it's a good question. Davis, I'm curious to see how he returns from injury. Okay? He's the 49ers, was it a fifth or sixth round draft pick, I believe, by the San Francisco 49ers a couple of years back. So, he's entering his third season. So he has two more years left on his contract. I'm curious to see. Now, remember when they drafted Khalil Davis, his first season, he was on the, not the PUP, the NFI, because he was injured before football actually started taking place. So he was on the NFI, missed that whole season. He came back last season, played a couple of snaps. I think he got his first career sack and then got injured again and then missed on the IR for the remaining of the season. So I'm curious to see what Khalil Davis is going to be. I remember him coming out of college, and the Niners had I felt like we just lost DJ Jones in free agency, and when we drafted him, he was like the DJ Jones replacement. Like, and this is what the Niners do. Like, they look for the guys that fit their system that can replenish or not replace, but at least replenish the spot that they're not bringing back, right? The player that they're not bringing back. So they got a kid like Khalil Davis. So I'm curious to see what he does. Evan Anderson, whew. Man, Florida Atlantic kid, if he can turn some heads at this rookie mini camp and boost his stock up, whew. I just don't see him being low on the depth chart as an undrafted free agent. Yes, I said it. So let me just remind everybody, the 49ers currently have 8 defensive tackles on their roster. Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, the trade from Houston, Kevin Givens, they re-signed him as a free agent. Khalil Davis going into his third year. T.Y. McGill, they brought back, they re-signed him as a free agent. Jordan Elliott, they signed as a free agent. Evan Anderson is an undrafted free agent. And then Ernest Brown, the fourth, is a free agent that they signed. And don't forget, Spencer Waggy was waived by the San Francisco 49ers. So they had 9. Now they have 8. And so I'm looking at the rotation. It's Hargrave. It's Collins. Those got to be your starters. And then it's rotational guys. So if Evan Anderson can beat out Ernest Brown the fourth, Jordan Elliott, T.Y. McGill, Khalil Davis, and Kevin Givens, he would be that third defensive tackle in rotation. And I know that's a lot of spots to jump up, Melissa, but there's a possibility. I don't know if he's going to take over for Eric because they're different, but I just feel like they're going to try to take over from Eric by combination of players. And it starts with Javon Hargrave. He has to be the most dominant defensive tackle out there. But when you look at Evan Anderson, I get Javon Hargrave. Like, I feel like that's the comp, right? That's the seal. That's who we are hoping he turns into. And we're hoping Javon Hargrave turns into what we saw his last year with the Eagles before we signed him. So there's a lot to kick off, man. A lot to kick off. 49 says Kyle will also be looking for these blocking wide receivers and running backs. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, without pads, I don't know if that's an indicator right now. Become OTAs? Yeah. But again, when I look at the receivers that they drafted, Pearsall is a pretty good blocker. Collins is a pretty good blocker. Tariq Owens is a really good blocker. This is going to be fun. That's the undrafted kid. That's Terrell Owens' son. This is going to be fun. You know, it's going to be super duper fun. When you think about it, guys, keep the questions coming. If you got some questions, I can't wait to see. But back to these rookies. So Renardo Green, I'm telling you, he's going to be a dog. But Malik Mustafa, can we talk a little bit about brother Malik, brother Mustafa, please? Good Lord. So I'm so glad he came of age. Like, he came into his own. He started filling out his body. I'm just so glad he developed into what he is. When you look at this kid on film, you know, everything that you see is his availability to be anywhere and everywhere at any given time. If you ask me where he struggles, it's going to be pretty much who they line up on them in man coverage. If it's a wide receiver that's quick, with moves, that can run routes, he's going to struggle. But I think the Niners try to keep him out of those type of situations. I know it's not in their control. Depends on how the offense comes out. But what you're going to get from him is a tackler. You're going to get a kid that can hit. You're going to get a kid that can blitz. You're going to get a kid that is just, he just has a knack for football. Just think Dre Greenlaw as a safety. Like, think Dre Greenlaw as a safety. I can't put it any better than that. Think Dre Greenlaw as a safety. I think Dre Greenlaw's one of the best tackling 49ers on the roster. And the only issue with Dre Greenlaw is his health, right? That's it. So when you look at Malik Mustafa and you watch him on film, you're like, damn, like the kid can move. He can move. He's not slow, but it's his ability. He runs really good angles. He knows where that football is going to be. And when the football goes where it goes, he knows the proper angle and the proper speed trajectory to take to get to the football. And he makes plays, right? You got a playmaker. So, you know, it was cool to hear him talk about how, you know, he kind of models his game after Talon Noah Hufanga. Like, how cool is that? Shout out to Hufanga, too, man. Catching a nice stray. Not a bad stray. That was a nice stray. Catching a nice stray. So, shout out to Talon Noah Hufanga for that. And I'm wishing him, I'm hoping. The safety room for the 49ers is very interesting. The safety room is very interesting because, in my opinion, your starters are Hufanga and Brown. Now, I don't know how healthy Hufanga is returning from the ACL, meaning he might be good, but I don't know if the Niners are going to try to keep him on ice just a little bit longer. But if they do that, the Niners are gambling huge by putting a second-year guy out there along with a rookie. And so I don't know. That's really not the Niners' way. And when I look about and I look to see what type of veteran, George Odom, Eric Harris, those are your vets. Those are your longest tenured vets at the safety position. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners called back Gibson, you know, after all the dust is settled and Gibson still wants to play and the number's still on the Rolodex. Yes, I said Rolodex. And the Niners give him a call and say, hey, man, you know. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, Malik has to climb the depth chart as well. I personally think he'll beat out Eric Harris, the undrafted kid, Jalen Mahoney, Taylor Hawkins, who is a ball hawk. Like, I just feel like he can – he has the athleticism and more importantly – he has the cognitive ability to understand what the heck is going on. And when you heard him talk, that was the conversation that him and John Lynch were having at the combine. You know, he had to dissect and tell what was going on, what his responsibilities were, whether he was in the fire zone or whatever it was. He had to let John Lynch know he knew how to play safety. And I kept telling everybody this was a John Lynch pick. I'm telling you. Malik Mustafa is a John Lynch pick. And I wouldn't be surprised if Malik Mustafa is the one from this draft class year one. Like, who has the opportunity to hit the football field? Because the safeties, I think the Niners are going to try to rotate some of those guys in and out, mainly to keep them healthy. But look at the type of safeties that they got. They got guys that are playmakers. They got guys that have a knack for the football. You know, can you imagine Malik? Can you imagine a three safety set? Just a three safety set, right? Two safeties, one up at the line of scrimmage that could play like a linebacker. I just told you Malik reminds you. Malik is Dre Greenlaw and of the safety position. And you got to remember, you know what he has? He came into the game as a cornerback. So he has coverage skills. It's just he's going to struggle against certain man-to-man coverages. Not all of them, just certain ones. Not all of them, just certain ones. So, you know, a lot of people want to know about Cody Schrader. We're going to get to those guys, I promise. We're going to talk about the UDFAs. But any questions about any of the other rookies that they signed? I think Ricky Pearsall is just going to be a dog. Ricky Pearsall is going to be a utility knife, though. So when you look at Ricky Pearsall, you're just like, where's he going to line up? Well, the X, the Y, or the Z? He can play all of them. And it's going to be how quickly can he adapt and learn that playbook? He has the most responsibility to me out of all these players from that offensive side because he has to learn all three wide receiver positions and he has to be accountable for all three of them, in my opinion. Why? Because I think he can play all three of them. I think he knows how to get open. He has the ability to create separation. He struggles against press man, but if he can find a way to get that, if he could run that route to back the cornerback up off of him and then sit underneath, catch the ball, then he has the ability to make people miss and get you yacked. So Ricky Pearsall is going to be a crazy weapon for Kyle Shanahan. And it's like when Deebo leaves the field, you insert Pearsall and you're like, oh, Deebo not out there. But next thing you know, you got this kid out of the backfield doing what Deebo did. Like, I'm telling you, Ricky Pearsall is going to be an X factor piece. He might not be the best wide receiver, but he's going to be an X factor. Just think of Deebo Samuel. That's why I call him the X factor, because he is a piece that you need that could take the offense over the top. I think that's what Pierce was going to. I'm not saying he's replacing Deebo. I'm just saying he has the ability to do that. And I did not talk about Tatum Bethune. And y'all need to start, like, paying attention to this young linebacker out of Florida State. He's a thumper, like a thumpity-thump-thump-thumper. I can't compare him to anybody other than some type of old-school-ass linebacker that's looking to knock your block off. He don't get penalties a lot. He don't get, like, so he knows how to tackle properly. He knows how to hit properly. He's not getting the wrong penalties. And he can freaking cover. There was a play in the LSU game where he had to cover AC. I think that's the slot guy, number two. He covered him. He was playing zone. He was sitting back in the zone as the middle linebacker, as the Mike linebacker. And he just stayed his spot and watched this kid come underneath and choom, went downhill and just knocked his block off. He gained 3 yards, but that was it. I don't even think the wide receiver knew he was coming. I ain't even going to talk about the hit he put on Jada Daniels in that game. That game right there, Jada Daniels should have rethought about how to play quarterback, because Tatum Bethune hit him so hard. Like, I'm telling you, it messed something up. I guarantee you. This is a thumper. That's why I don't understand the 40 time. Yeah, it's slow, but he don't play slow on the football field. And he give you all 60 minutes. You know, he gives all 60 minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see how these rookies come out. But for me, my eyes, my star is on Isaac Garendo, the kid, the underdog, the kid playing with the chip on his shoulder. Isaac Garendo. Kylie wants to know about his ball security. Let me just double check. But if I'm not mistaken, he doesn't turn the ball over. But let me double check, dog, because I want to make sure I'm 100% correct before I give you an answer. Because you know how you do. You know what I'm saying? You know how you do. So let me make sure. But he has really good ball security. Even if it's one, he has really good ball security, if I'm not mistaken. So bear with me as I get that pulled up from rushing. All right, so far as rushing and his turnovers throughout his collegiate career, he has 2 total fumbles. He fumbled once in Wisconsin, and then he fumbled once at Louisville. So 2 total fumbles from Isaac Garendo. So ball security, and that's on what? That's 254 snaps. That's 203 attempts. For that. And I mean, I know his total combined, you know, yards are low at 1,220, but you know what? He only started one game his whole collegiate career. He only started one game. Well, I'd say so, 2 fumbles, that's not bad. He's really good with the ball security. And, you know, he didn't turn the ball over. Let me just make sure from receiving. I just want to make sure I don't see any fumbles. As far as drops, he only has 1 drop. Well, let me write. He has 3 drops his career as a receiver. So 2 fumbles, 3 drops in his career. So that's Isaac Garendo for you, dog. That's his ball security. Okay. Melissa says, Breezy, fun. If you could pick anybody for week 1 on schedule, Who you pick, and do you think the pattern continues? They are on the road for 2 weeks and have a home opener week three. I don't know how the schedule thing plays out, but I thought it would rotate, right? Like, I thought it would rotate for the 49ers as far as they go on the road, then they're at home. I want the 49ers to open up at home this year. I'm going to call it. Remember they opened up. I can't remember the last time they opened up at home. But I what if the first week is a big game, primetime football for the 49ers? Sunday night football, 49ers, maybe the Cowboys, week one. Why not? Healthy teams, no excuses, Sunday night football. Give me the Cowboys week one. Get that shit over with. Like, that's how I'm looking at it. So I'm hoping that they're at home first. You know what I mean? I'm hoping that they're at home first. I love the questions, too. Wayne, do you see Jimmy Ward and Mustafa, but potentially better? He's good against the blitz. I like the way you break stuff down. I don't get the ball hawking. Jimmy Ward was a ball hawk. And the fact that they changed him up. Let me correct this. I see the versatility being that when it comes to Jimmy Ward and Malik Mustafa. I see versatility. I do. They're able to play all over the field. Whether you want them as safety, whether you want them as corner, you want them up on the line. Like, I feel like you're going to get the versatility. But the thing I liked about Jimmy Ward when he came out of college was he was a ball hawk. I think he was snapping and grabbing interceptions out the air. You're not going to get that from Malik Mustafa. I mean, he can do it. But the 5'11" assassin, I don't think that's his strong point. Man, I think his thing is, you know, you throw on me, you get rocked. He's like, all right. So, for example, 6 PBUs throughout his career. He started at Richmond, finished at Wake Forest his last 3 years. 6 PBUs, 3 interceptions. Right? He's given up a 60.4% reception rate. So, like, he's only been targeted 53 times. He gave up 32 receptions. You're going to catch the ball, but he's going to make the tackle. So don't expect the yards. I mean, this kid, in 4 years, he's only allowed 415 yards. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, he's a different monster. I think you could compare. I think he's a better tackler than Jimmy Ward. The thing I loved about Jimmy Ward was he wasn't afraid to tackle. Right, he wasn't afraid. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love it. You know, I like that idea, Mark. I'm gonna start it. I'll talk about that at the end of the show. He wasn't afraid to tackle, and I thought that was so dope. You know, or whatnot. Vince, you want to talk about these guys? So let's go ahead and bring up the UDFAs. And here they are: Drake Nugent, Brazen Mays, Tariq Owens, Tanner Mordecai, Cody Schrader is everybody's favorite. I'm gonna tell you who my favorite is. It's Mason Plines, the tight end. I want you guys to keep an eye on him. That's who I want y'all to look out for. He had a killer freaking East-West Shrine Bowl game. It's interesting because the Niners drafted 2 players from the East-West Shrine Bowl and signed 2 undrafted free agents from the East-West Shrine Bowl, Cody Schrader, Mason Plines. And so, like, that's cool. And then they drafted Isaac Garrido and forget the other player that they drafted, Jacob Cowing, right, from that bowl game. So, look, Cody Schrader, the only knock on his game is speed. Other than that, that cat's a back. You get what I'm saying? He's a back. I don't know if you want to call him a running back or just a back, because I think he could just play in the backfield. Like, you know, when I think about Cody Schrader, how did he go undrafted? Well, I think he had a bad combine. I don't think he tested well. You know, he didn't test too well. And because of that, I felt like, you know, that was his issue. Now, he only played, I only got him counted for 2 years at Missouri. Not sure he played before that. But, you know, 2 years, 2,168 yards off of 404 attempts with 2 fumbles. So, yeah, I mean, you can compare and say he only fumbled the ball twice, whereas Garrido fumbled the ball twice with way less snaps. Would he have fumbled more? I don't know. As far as receiving, he has 4 drops. you know, but 326 yards, 39 receptions off of 52 targets. I just don't know. He has 47 explosive runs. Like, the kid can break tackles. He averages 3.5 yards after contact. To me, he's more like Jordan Mason, though. So when you compare the guys like Garendo Mitchell, Schrader Mason, that's how I kind of draw my comparisons. Not saying that they're going to replace anybody, but that's my comparison. Garendo Mitchell, speed, bruiser, Schrader Mason. Now, I'm not saying Mason's going to get replaced, but, you know, that's just kind of like my thought process on that. All right. So let me know what you think, Vince. That kid is going to be a problem, but Mason Plines is the kid that I just got my eyes on. I think he's a great pass catching tight end. He can block decent, you know, and, you know, I think he's going to complement, to me, in my opinion, he's going to complement. Well, he's a 70 in pass pro. He has a 70.5 grade. Man, this kid went to Furman College, Furman Paladins, where he played. And I just think they can utilize him. He's kind of like replacing like that Ross Dwelly role. Could be like an H, but the kid is 6'7". But like I said, he had a good bowl. Let me see if I can get the All-Star game. He had a good bowl game, if I'm not mistaken. But as far as receiving, 199 yards. It's only his one year. And three touchdowns. He averaged 7.1 yards per catch. Responsible for 8 first downs. Only had 1 drop. Not a big yak guy. More of an inline guy, in my opinion. But you could put this big kid in the slot. So I I'm not saying he's going to make the roster, but when I look at the tight ends, I got to go back to the tight ends, so the undrafted guys, and I look at the tight ends, and I wonder if the Niners did this on purpose. They got George Kittle, Cameron Latu, Braden Willis, Jake Tongues, Eric Saubert, and Mason Plines. So I'm curious to see how that's going to work. You know what I'm saying? He has a shot. I think Mason Plines has a shot. We don't know much about Eric Saubert. We just know he's a vet. We don't know much about Jake Tongues. We just know he's been in the system and he's a vet. Now, can Mason Plines come out and show up over those two guys? We won't know till OTAs. But if he has a good rookie minicamp, we gotta have this conversation. Look, the Niners signed some good ass undrafted guys. It's crazy. Maui says, Breezy, is it possible that our worst case scenario for Garendo is the new juice? And I'm just curious to know why the new juice. Can somebody help me correlate that? I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't know why we're comparing him to new juice. Is it because of his ability to block? Because of his ability he can line up where he can line up? It's because of his size. He's big. Is it because he can catch? Like, why are we comparing him to juice? Because he is fast. So I don't get the juice comparison. I don't get it, but if you can help me understand it and draw the correlation for me, I'm always open. Whether you talk about it now or you send me a private message, like, I just don't see the juice. I don't know. I'm just curious to see. Oh, because Larry Kruger's been saying it? Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, he does have the size, but I'm not putting. I don't know. I don't see him as juice. Can I just say this? There will never be another juice. I can't even begin to explain the comprehension level of the playbook to why juice works. Like, that's a smart kid. And I don't think you guys play Madden, right? Juice has his spectacular catch should be on 99. Like, I don't care. You can put nothing else on 99, but it's spectacular. Because he can catch. He just got to throw the ball somewhere in his radius. And that little guy could go up and get the ball. But he just knows where to be. He knows how to – I'm not saying that he replaces Juice. I think he's going to be a running back and potentially has the ability, and when you if you move on from a Christian McCaffrey, to take over in that role. You got to remember, you know, the best thing about Isaac Garrido is his ability to be available and not dealing with injuries. You know, you look at Malik Mustafa, he had the ACL injury in college. You look at some of these guys. Like, so I'm there, nothing for Rick Garrido. He just wasn't given the opportunity. He transferred out of Wisconsin. He goes to Louisville. He's trying to one up the guys that they already deemed as starters, and they had to work a 2-3 back system for him. Guess where he's coming? He's coming into the San Francisco 49ers where they have to work a 2-3 back system for him. The Niners will have a 2-3 running back type of a system. I tell you, like Garrido, I want to see him on special teams, period. I want to see him on special teams. Can he give the special teams that juice? No pun intended, because we were talking about juice. No pun intended. No. Strawberry reacts, no other fullback. Juice so good that at times I'd be like, just line him up at tight end. But he's a fullback. And see, this is what I need y'all to understand about Kyle Shanahan. The new NBA, and I'm good, this is the only time I'm gonna draw the NFL NBA comparison, but the new NBA is starting to come up with position less basketball, meaning you're gonna draft a type. And they have the ability to play what their position is in 1-5. Let me just say it like that. 1-5. They have the position to play 1-5. They can defend 1-5, play 1-5, right? Depending on the lineups or whatever. Because you got to match size, blah, 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 blah. Well, I feel like Kyle Shanahan is doing the same thing with his players. I mean, he's drafting the best fits that can play anywhere. Versatility is the key. So only issue that I have with versatility, does that affect their availability? Are the 49ers too versatile to where their players aren't always available due to injury because of the versatility? Or is it because some of the players on the 49ers lack the versatility? I don't know. I think that's a good-ass question. You know what I mean? Mommy says, you put all those attributes in the 4-3 guy. Breezy, that juice guy. you get a monster juice. I think Larry is, if you're trying to get him on the football field, but he's not replacing Juice. I'm just saying, like, Juice is good to go, Juice better be out on the football field. Like, you know what I'm saying? But again, this is Juice last year on his contract, right? Hey man, hey, who knows what Bobby Turner and Kyle Shanahan got cooking. Who knows? Hey, Peter Parker says, I'm still not ready for football, Breezy. That Super Bowl was so crushing, man. That Super Bowl, I'm so glad it's over. Woo, Jesus. Man, Michael Brock Alexander, why does anyone want to move Garrido to a new position before ever taking a pro snap? You know why? Because Mike, you know, not that I agree with this whole, you know, what I'm saying is I agree with you, but I think the reason is because he's still moldable. Because he came into college as a receiver. They quickly shifted him to running back. So if I can shift you to run, and that could have been reason why his progression was low and why he was on the lower on the depth chart, because he was trying to come up. He was going from receiver to running back. Maybe that's the same theory thought process. It's the only thing I could think of. He's moldable. And if I could get him to learn the fullback, you know how much more he got to learn to play fullback? This dude got to know when to motion, how to motion, where to line up, who to crack, who to block, who to lead block, how to catch. And it, I don't know. That's a lot. Good Lord. That's a lot. So, listen, if it happens, it happens, man. And if it happens, we got to send Krug his flowers, because I ain't see that. I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing a 4-3 speedy 6-1 220 plus pound running back that can fly on the outside. And I'm sorry, if you block inside and it's one guy to cut and he make miss, he is ghost. He's gone. That's what I used to say back in the 90s. He gone. Like Audi 5000. You ain't catching him. That's the one thing the Niners are missing. It's the home run speed. Because Kyle Shanahan, let's keep it a buck, man. Like, the dude draws up these masterful plays. And next thing you know, it just take one block and the running back is out. How many times Christian McCaffrey burst out down the middle or down the sideline but got caught from behind? He ain't getting caught from behind. I can tell you that right now. So the Niners got themselves a great stable of players. This might be the first year. What's up, Cousin Snoop? This might be the first year I feel like the 49ers drafted, like, just all dogs. Every player. Even, like, don't sleep on Jared Kingston. I know he was a sixth-round pick, and I know I haven't given him much love, but then I started watching and started saying to myself, oh, snap. Another system-fit guy, and all he got to do is come in, learn the playbook, understand the role, and do it to his best ability. And he's a bigger dude. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I think this stuff, you know what? I gotta give John Lynch a round of applause for drafting all dogs. I'm not giving nobody else credit. Not Kyle, nobody. John Lynch, you get the credit. You just drafted a draft of 8 dogs. Literally, you got a pack of dogs. How many come in a pack? 8 hot dogs? He got a pack of them joints. And then he went and turned around. Let me read these names to you, these undrafted free agents. Let me just read these names to you. Drake Nugent, veteran center, not a first-time starting center. Brazen Mays can play 3 spots on the offensive line. Tariq Owens could be a stud wide receiver with 4-4 speed. I'm just saying he's fast. He's fast, and he could catch, and he could block. Okay? Now, I think he has the longest shot. Tanner Mordecai, I just see big playability, very mobile, probably practice squad quarterback moving forward. Cody Schrader has a shot. Mason Plines has a shot. Evan Anderson has a shot. And these aren't long shots. Jalen Mahoney, maybe a long shot, because he's got to climb his way up that depth chart. And there's some guys that I feel like are going to be looking to make a name for themselves on the depth chart. Keep your ears on Taylor Hawkins, the safety. Didn't he get an interception last year? He finally got into the game. I think he got an interception last year. I could look it up on another show, whatever. I'm sure you guys know. And Tay Martin, like the wide receiver. Like, we slowly forgetting about him. The Niners are all dogged out in just about every position. So for the rookies, they got to come out here and they can't really make any types of mistakes. They got to really show and prove, because it's not the starters they got to beat out to crack this roster. It's the depth. It's the depth. And if they can find a way to crack that depth and beat out the depth, they'll find their way on the 53-man roster. And it doesn't matter if they were drafted or undrafted. It doesn't matter. It's 16 new dogs entering rookie minicamp plus the invites. Eric, I never understood that. And I feel like it's because they want you to buy another pack of hot dogs, and then you'll have, like, what, 4 hot dogs over that you have to eat without hot dog buns. So you have to go to the regular bread. That's funny. That is funny. I just peeped that. That is funny. A couple of takes before we dip up out of here. Thank y'all for the comments and for tuning in. The questions. The questions were on par. I hope I was able to get to most of them. And if I didn't see your question, my apologies. I'll do my best the next time. But Omar, 602 Niners, people were crying that CMC played too much last year. And now that we drafted the perfect complement to CMC, they want to switch him to fullback. I don't get it. My brother Oscar Garindo is a one cut back. Want to see how his patience and eyes look. One thing CMC is superior at is his patience, waiting for a hole to open. Yeah, and so you know what's funny? Remember Trey Sermon, who kind of pranced around and didn't hit the hole hard enough like didn't hit the hole with the burst. Well, at least you don't have to worry about that from Guerrero. If the play is called to the one hole, two hole, three hole, four hole, he's hitting it. And so y'all better be out the way. The hole better be created. Now, as far as vision and patience, you know, I feel like that can be developed over time. And I think he just needs some time, because you got to remember, every time he came into a game, Oscar, he was trying to make that. He didn't know if it was going to be his last play. And he was pretty damn productive, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he was pretty damn productive. So you're right, man. He does have the one cut ability. The question is, can he allow the hole to develop so he can have the big play, opposed to the 4 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards? If he allows that hole to develop because of his patience and his vision, good Lord. And, you know, when you're learning from Christian McCaffrey, I'm just the type of person that just feels like you learn by watching, you learn by asking questions. And there's no other room he probably would rather be in this running back room with Christian McCaffrey, who's the best damn running back in the NFL. I'm going to give myself a round of applause on that. Mark says we should do a call-in show on Fridays and call it Faithful Friday. So I tell you what, we'll go ahead and begin that, because I do want to bring the call-in show back now that the practices and all that stuff is going to start heating up. So we will do something like that. We'll give it a try. I do know when the season starts, I may be changing up the show with John Chapman on the day, but usually he's my game plan show for Friday. So we'll see. But we'll start it. We'll start the Friday show and stuff, and we'll call it Faithful Fridays, and we'll make that the call-in day. I've been just experimenting with call-ins and all that type of stuff, and I missed the actual call-in. I got to still try to figure out how to get a number to where y'all could call and just I can hear y'all on the air, because some people just don't like to come on the air. Some people don't. They fit not right. You know what I mean? They fit not right. 49er Josh, seeker of truth and wisdom. He is breezy. You have grown so much in the last few years that I've seen you between your own channel and NBN. Keep up the good work, sir. You are truly a part of the Niner Empire in my mind. Peace and love. Man, I salute you, bro. I salute you, man. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you on that for real. Those words of encouragement are crazy. I appreciate you. Mose is doing well, and Mose and I have been talking behind the scenes. He's just taking a little hiatus right now to spend time with the family. And we are going to have some new interesting things for you guys in the upcoming season. So Mose is doing good. So keep Mose and family in your prayers, but he's doing good. Please keep Peachy in y'all prayers as well. She's dealing with some health issues, and she's going to be all good real soon. So make sure you guys keep her in your prayers. If you don't see or hear from her, that's why. Don't forget to tune in 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be back with Mike Andrews, the BAM show, right here 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, we will be back for sure. And then Tuesdays will be on the John Chapman channel. I think the simulcasting phase is done. I don't want to do that anymore. So I'll be on his channel on Tuesdays. He'll be on my channel on Fridays. And YouTube is weird. I'm just going to leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? YouTube is weird. John Doe, wish you success, Niner bro. How do you feel about our secondary? Oh, we ended the show on this. You ready? Ha, ha, ha. So, you know, the secondary, in my opinion, is about to be fire, fire, fire. It's because of their continuity, though, right? So, like, when I look at the secondary, I'm like, all right, Charvarius Mooney-Ward is playing on a contract here. He's going to be looking for the... Hold on. Diamador Lenore is playing on the contract year. He's going to be looking for the... Hey, so you know what that means? Usually when you're playing on a contract year and all goes well, like no injury, no nothing, you ball out. Like, you really ball out. Why? I wonder why. Why? You trying to let the world know. Listen, man, you got to shut up and pay me, right? So I'm really thinking that this secondary this year, and I didn't even talk about Talanoa Hufanga, who's playing on a contract year, right? So my only issue with Hufanga is I'm just a little bit concerned about him coming back from this ACL, but I shouldn't be. That kid's mentality, his work ethic, his passion, his spirit is all telling me he's gonna come back and have and try to replicate the all-pro year that he had before the injury. So just imagine getting a healthy Hufanga back. You got Jair Brown going into his second year. You got Diamador Lenore, who can play outside and he could be your starting nickel. You got your other outside cornerback in Tre'Davious Moody-Ward. Ambry Thomas is going to have a have a great camp, right? Why? Because they just drafted a dog in Renardo Green. They drafted a dog last year in Darrell Luter Jr. And the year before that, they drafted a dog in Samuel Womack III. I'm sorry, but it's just dog. I'm curious to see what Nick Sorensen has to say. And if Nick Sorensen goes to press man and Ambry Thomas is on this roster, he may just be the best cornerback on this roster. I'm just saying that is his style. He's supposed to play up on the guy. The same way I watched Renardo Green on film, when Renardo Green played off of Malik Nabers and gave Malik those underneath routes or Brian Thomas Jr., whoever he was covering in that LSU game, it was a catch. But that means to tell me that, the quarterback sees soft coverage on the outside. I'm throwing it to him. I trust my guy to catch it. And then that's what they do to Ambry Thomas every single time. Now, Ambry does get beat on comeback moves and stuff like that, but look, if he could just play up on his man, I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying that's his strength. And if he struggles at that, he got to go. Guys, I love y'all. 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be back. Thank y'all so much for tuning into the Wayne Breezy Show. Don't forget to use the promo code SFBreezy. Go to residency.com today. Save on your total purchase. Shout out to my brothers over there and sisters over there at Residency. I appreciate y'all. Love the Breezy Bunch crew. Thank you, everybody, on Facebook, Twitter. If you're watching, listen, Twitter, y'all going to have to join on YouTube or Facebook or something, because I need y'all to switch it up. Because I'm going to stop streaming there probably at the beginning of the season. So, just wanted to put that out there. Enjoy it while you can, baby. Love y'all. Stay up. Stay faithful. We'll see you back at 4 p.m. I be sipping Gold Bar whiskey on the rocks.
I be sipping Gold Bar whiskey on the rocks. And a 24-karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop. Sounding like Trent Williams on the block. So, you know we can't stop. We be banging through your speakers.
Wayne Breezy on the field in the
You can tune into my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy, the phone.